Okay, please be seated. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome the parents and friends of our PSY students, along with faculty and staff of PSY and Perimeter, and of the University of Waterloo. And most of all, I welcome the PSY students themselves. My name is John Berlinski. I'm responsible for all of the academic activities at the Perimeter Institute, and much of my time and effort is devoted to this program, Perimeter Scholars International. The students in this program arrived just over 10 months ago. They are the second PSY class, 31 strong from 15 countries around the world, and they have spent these last 10 months working hard, studying, going to classes, doing homework, researching, writing, and presenting what they have learned about theoretical physics. PSY is a coursework master's program of the University of Waterloo. Because our term ends so late, our students will not actually graduate until early October. Today we are gathered here with family and friends to celebrate the fact that they have finished all of the requirements for their degrees and are ready to graduate. I say this with a great deal of pride and satisfaction. So, to begin today's program, I would like to introduce the person who is responsible for conceiving of PSY and also for making it happen. Neil Turok, the director of the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics, is an internationally renowned theoretical physicist and cosmologist. As chair of mathematical physics at Cambridge University, he worked with a colleague, Stephen Hawking, on models of the birth of inflationary universes, an area where he continues to do world-leading research. He is also the founder of the African Institute for Mathematical Sciences in Cape Town, South Africa, a program not dissimilar to PSY, which trains African students in advanced mathematics and theoretical physics. I'd like to call on Neil Turok to speak to us about PSY.
Thanks very much, John. This is, I guess, a quasi-graduation. Not exactly a graduation, but more of a celebration that you finished. And as one final step in your PSY program, we do our best to embarrass you by playing Land of Hope and Glory and making you stand there with a straight face. But you've survived that too, like everything else. So well done. My main task is just to say very well done to all of you. I know this has been a tough program. And one of the great pleasures for me has just been, even though I couldn't devote much time to PSY itself, and John really takes all the credit for the actual running of the program, my greatest pleasure has just been to bump into you as individuals from time to time and share a few words. And maybe you don't know it, but you are an incredibly positive influence in this institute. When I'm going home at whatever, 7 p.m., and when I'm exhausted and fed up that I didn't have any time to do research again today, I just bump into one of you, and I'm off home with a smile on my face. And really, you have done a huge amount to make me happier this year. It's really been a pleasure to see you occupying the fishbowl. As soon as it was finished, the PSY students were in there, and it was almost literally showcasing Perimeter Institute because you were beavering away there at work, and it was really a wonderful example for all of us. I want to thank John Berlinski for his leadership of the program and his care about everything and all of you and his wisdom. And we're incredibly fortunate to have John running the program. I want to thank Debbie, our chief mother hen, for all of you and all of us, and Rachel, who joined us recently, and Linda and all the lecturers, and people like Brian McNamara, who couldn't be here today, but who's been, and Jamie Forrest, who've been instrumental in making this program work with respect to the university. And last but absolutely not least, the tutors, Tibra, Dennis, and Callum, who have been simply outstanding. And you know, the devotion they put into their work is fantastic, and we're delighted that two of them are staying with us. Unfortunately, Callum is not. Maybe he'll change his mind still. But the two are staying on as Psi Fellows, and we're delighted they will actually have time to do research next year, as well as looking after the students and be joined with, I think, four other Psi Fellows. And so this is developing into a very serious program. I want to begin with something personal. I mean, it's been an unbelievably busy year here. For myself, ensuring Perimeter funding was renewed, recruiting new faculty and DRCs, completing our new building, and pursuing outreach initiatives like the Ames Next Einstein Initiative in Africa and the Equinox Summit last week, which was a great success. Having you guys around has been simply fantastic. Seeing you occupying the fishbowl, eating meals in the temporary bistro, bumping into you outside, you're such a nice group, and you re-energize us all, so thank you for that. John asked me to say a few words about what Psi is and what the intention of the program is. And put simply, it's an experiment. And maybe as theorists, we don't get enough chance to experiment, but in this case, we've been lucky enough to do so. And the experiment is to see if we can actually do better in teaching and sharing the joy of theoretical physics than we normally do in universities and other settings. At Perimeter, we've been given an extraordinary opportunity. The support we have is unequaled worldwide. But with that comes a challenge. And the challenge is, how do you actually speed up progress in the most fundamental, successful, and difficult field in all of science? Okay, that's our challenge. In my position, I get to deal with a lot of planners, executives, civil servants, people responsible for implementing things. They're not just idle theorists, okay? And it might surprise you to know that many of them operate on formulas, right? They all have their formulas. Formulas are fundamental to the world. They have business plans, branding, and evaluation strategies. One of the slogans is, we were looking at the web this morning, is smarter. Smarter means specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. Evaluate and re-evaluate, okay? Another one is SWOT. Strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. You know, management and basically the way the world runs is often on the basis of formulas. Well, theoretical physics is also formulaic. Okay, here's the formula. Okay, we look for the formulas which actually govern the world and which capture the essence of the universe. And so this formula here summarizes all known physics, and it's really one of the crowning glories of 20th century physics. And the names you'll see along it are all Nobel Prize winners. So this is sort of the formula at the heart of our field. And what we love about theoretical physics is it's not about memorizing. I mean, anyone can memorize this formula. And this formula summarizes essentially every physical phenomenon we know in the universe and crystallizes it. And in principle, after taking a course like Psi, you should be able to calculate anything okay, about the world, because those are the fundamental rules of nature. But of course, it's not the final answer, okay, at all. We know that. First of all, it's not even consistent. There are deep mathematical problems with some of its pieces, like quantum gravity, unifying Einstein's theory and quantum mechanics. Secondly, we struggle to interpret this formula. We don't really know what it means. It tells us reality is described by an amplitude, complex number, or a state in a Hilbert space. But just this last week, we've been participating in an online blog with some of the leading experts in the field, seriously worrying about why we are aware of only one reality, when according to this formula, there should be many. Okay, we don't understand this. At least many people feel we don't understand that fact, that very simple fact about what the formula means. The formula seems to imply there are many worlds evolving in parallel. Third, many of the most interesting phenomena in the world, like the behavior of materials or society or the stock exchange, are tremendously complicated, and this formula won't help you at all in analyzing those. Not even a good starting point. You need to extract the essential principles and then build a new mathematical machinery appropriate to the situation. And finally, as a cosmologist, the formula doesn't include two vital facts about the universe, that it's dominated by dark energy and dark matter, which make up 95% of the stuff in the universe, and we have no idea what that is. And finally, it completely fails to describe the Big Bang, where we all came from. And so that's the area of my own research. Nevertheless, it's an amazing formula which epitomizes the power of mathematical thinking to describe reality. Nothing in any other field comes anywhere close to this formula. What is even more exciting is that it's about to change. Okay, the LHC is now operating, and over the next 6 months may well take us into entirely new territory. There are already rumors, and here at Perimeter we're going to be hosting some workshops geared to make sense of this vast amount of new data which will soon be flooding the field. We may well see revolutions in basic particle physics, which is an incredibly exciting prospect. I'm not going to talk about spin-off for this formula, except to say that every single modern technology we now take, which governs our lives and which we now take for granted, had its origins in breakthroughs in basic physics. We have a simple saying at PI: today's theoretical physics is tomorrow's technology. Theoretical physics is the greatest treasure we possess. It's completely free to share. And while we have no idea what its future discoveries will be, we know they will be the key to our future. As successful as this field has been, it's generally been very poor in strategizing its own development. We're so in love with our formulae, and we like losing ourselves in calculations, we don't often think about how we actually organize the field, how we teach, and how we plan for new projects, and how we use this, our science, to connect the world, which it does fantastically well. Because it's easy to live in a comfort zone, so much so that we sometimes forget why we're doing physics, or how we might, and don't think about how we might do it more effectively, and sometimes even we might spend our time better doing something different. And we encourage PSI students to do all of those things. We initiated PSI with the goal of revitalizing the teaching and learning of advanced theoretical physics. It's a very unusual program, very intense, diverse, and challenging. And these graduates who are with us today have survived it, and I can guarantee to each of you that this experience will be valuable to you in your future lives. The program is still experimental, and we would greatly value your thoughts on it. You don't need to give them today, but over the next months, I do encourage all the PSI students to write to us, tell us what you frankly thought of the program, and some of your ideas how we can make it more effective in the future. We want to know your views. Quite a few of you, I'm happy to say, seem to like it here, as we do. And I'm very happy that about 13 of you, plus or minus a few, are going to be staying in this area for your PhD work. Many of you will go on to research or other activities elsewhere in nuclear structure. I looked through the list, and nuclear structure, material science, quantum gravity, development economics, teaching in Africa, quantum information. There's a great diversity of your trajectories, and we hope you will stay in contact with each other and with us. And let's look forward to the future. And so I want to leave you with one thought. I've got a few slides here of the projections of the Stephen Hawking Center, which is now half semi-open. Before it existed, it was just an idea. Okay, we thought, how are we going to grow this institute? What should we do? Well, we have a fantastic team at Perimeter, and we planned this. We found the right people to design it. We won funding, and we oversaw its construction. And now it's a reality, and the next class of Psi will be occupying it. So these were the pictures that the architects prepared for us while we were planning for the Hawking Institute, the Stephen Hawking Center. And you can see that's what it is, right? It's pretty accurate. That's one view, that's the interior view. And there's the next class of Psi. Okay, over here, and there's some over there. I want to encourage you to see this as an example. The world faces a very uncertain future, and I can sense it in all of you in my conversations with you. You worry more about your futures than we ever did, for good reason. The world is heading into uncertain times. What I'd like to say to you is encourage you to find something you really want to do, which you think will help others, and which will make a valuable and lasting contribution. It might be in trying to find new knowledge, or it might be teaching or applying existing knowledge in better ways. Go after a good cause with all your heart. You will get to work with wonderful people. You'll have more fun and fulfillment than you can possibly imagine, and you'll live a life full of meaning. The world changes one idea at a time, and why shouldn't one of those ideas be yours? Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. So, as I mentioned at the beginning, Psi is a degree program of the University of Waterloo, and Psi students are students in Waterloo's Department of Physics and Astronomy, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, physics program in Canada. Indeed, many of our graduates continue on to do their PhDs here at Perimeter and at the University of Waterloo. With us today is the Chair of Physics and Astronomy at Waterloo, Jeff Chen. Jeff is also a theoretical physicist working in the area of polymer and biological physics. I would like to call on Jeff to say a few words on behalf of his department.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, students and guests. The magic word Psi, P-S-I, marks a milestone of the life of graduating class. Over the past 10 months, you have gone through the most intensive training in theoretical physics. On behalf of the 42 faculty members we have in my department, I want to express my warmest congratulations to all of you, to your success. Now, as John said, that the program, PSI program, is a joint venture between Perimeter and the University of Waterloo. So you will be attending an official graduation in October, in this fall. So I look forward to seeing you again this fall. When I look at these three letters, PSI, a minute ago, I all of a sudden realize something. The mirror symmetry, well, in physics, we do mirror symmetry with the rotational symmetry, with all kinds of symmetry operation. The mirror symmetry of PSI is ISP. I'm special. Yes, you are special. Most masters, you know, students who get master's degree would celebrate once. You guys celebrated twice. The Department of Physics and Astronomy in Waterloo is becoming a leading place in Canada for doing research and actually for teaching as well. There are many exciting things going on in my department. We have research activities, active research activities, in a good spectrum of physics. Now, most of you have spent last 10 months staying here. You haven't had a chance, too much chance, visiting my department. I would welcome, you this summer if you wish to come over, visit us, and explore research opportunities with our faculty members. Finally, I wish to say that if someone asks you, where did you get your degree from, I would wish you would say with a loud and bold and proud voice, Perimeter and the University of Waterloo. These will be the two places that you will treasure for quite a long time. Thank you and enjoy your afternoon.
Yes. So next, I would like to call on Anton van Niekerk, one of this year's PSI students, who came to PSI from the universities of Pretoria and of Cape Town in South Africa, and who will welcome our guest of honor. Anton, please come forward.
Thank you. It is my great pleasure to introduce to you Professor Ruth Gregory. Professor Gregory, or Ruth as she is known to us, completed her PhD at Cambridge University in 1988 under the supervision of John Stewart. She is currently a professor in the departments of both physics and mathematical sciences at Durham University in the UK. Ruth's research is on both is on general relativity and cosmology, and it includes work in extra dimensions, cosmic strings, and brain world theories. Some of the highlights of her career thus far include the Gregory-Laflamme instability. Ruth, together with Raymond Laflamme, who is currently a faculty member at Perimeter Institute, and is also the director of the Institute for Quantum Computing here in Waterloo, made the claim in 1993 that a spherical black hole in four dimensions stretched into five dimensions is unstable and when perturbed in the fifth dimension would fragment into spherical black holes, thus revealing the cosmic singularity that is normally hidden by the black hole's horizon and violating cosmic censorship. The claim was debated for 17 years until last year when numerical work by Louis Lehner, an associate faculty member at Perimeter and Guelph, and Franz Pretorius finally settled the debate by showing that the fragmentation does indeed reveal this cosmic singularity. In 2000, Ruth, with Valery Rubakov and Sergei Sibiryakov, proposed the interesting idea that the universe may be five-dimensional at very large scales, and that this would cause gravity to be modified at large distances. This modified gravity could be an alternative possibility to the suggested dark energy, which is proposed to cause deviations that have been observed. Although the proposal was eventually shown to have some problems, it is nevertheless a very imaginative and interesting idea. In a paper with Kaloper, Robert Myers, a faculty member at PI, and Padilla, published in 2007, Ruth managed to show that the proposed method to obtain accelerated expansion of the universe without a cosmological constant, named DGP Brainwald model, is flawed. Ruth was awarded the 2006 Maxwell Medal from the Institute of Physics for her contributions to physics on the interface of general relativity and string theory, in particular for her work on the physics of cosmic strings and black holes. Ruth is known by her colleagues for her careful, considered arguments and by her students for her self-contained pedagogical explanations. Earlier this year, we scions had the privilege of being taught advanced general relativity by Ruth. Starting from the mathematical groundwork, she was able to make many fascinating modern topics accessible to us in only 3 weeks. I know I personally gained a good intuition for topics treated in her course. For example, how a massless field can become a collection of massive fields in extra dimensions. Not only did we as a class enjoy Ruth's course, but she was also one of our favorite teachers. We were therefore delighted to hear that she would be attending this celebration, I beg your pardon. She will be receiving an honorary PSI certificate and will be speaking to us today.
Okay, so now I would like to ask our guest of honor, Ruth Gregory, to step forward and accept a special certificate from PSI, which recognizes her contributions to our program. So you can stay here.
Okay,
thank you. I'll now call on Ruth to address our group.
Thank you, John. And thank you, Anton, for that lovely, if slightly embarrassing, introduction. First of all, let me say it's a real pleasure to be back here somewhat sooner than I'd expected and to see Waterloo for the first time not dressed in snow. It's a real compliment to be here, to share this important day with you all, and also to receive this honor. I'd also like to thank the students for being so generous in their evaluation of my teaching, and also, if I may, to thank my tutor, Callum, the tutor who's leaving, who I'm sure was instrumental in the evaluations, since he was my backup plan. He's my secret weapon, you see, that helped you understand the course. You can feel, I think, rightly proud of your achievements over the past months, and I think you can really feel good about yourselves today. So you've heard about the PSI program from Neil and John, but here's the outside view. The PSI program really is different from most of the other master's courses that you can sit in physics. It's both incredibly broad and incredibly intense. And Neil and John, I think, have done a really good job of pulling together an amazing set of people. Now, I'm not referring to myself here. I'm really referring not just to faculty, but of course also to you, the students. I have to say, Neil probably stole some of the things that I was going to say about you and about the program. I did particularly enjoy my lecturing this year at PSI, and those of you who took my course really did have a lot of material thrown at you. I would say I don't know if you're aware of it, but I bet you were. I was actually surprised and delighted at how well you rose to the challenge and really ran with all the stuff that I was throwing at you, so well done to everyone for that. And to explain the picture up there, on my laptop, it's called thesurvivors.jpg, because that was really how I felt about the end of the course, that we'd really been through quite a journey through theoretical gravity together, and that everybody who'd made it to the end had really achieved something special. So for the rest of the audience, those who don't know me so well, as Anton was perhaps too kind to say, I'm sort of your guest boffin, if you like. My area of physics is extremely theoretical, formal, mathematical, and quite speculative. I like to joke when asked in Britain what sort of doctor I am. I usually say, oh, well, I'm a doctor as in who, which which refers to a popular British TV sci-fi series where the doctor is a time lord who can manipulate the physics of space and time and travels around through a lot of extra dimensions. It is, I think, in my case, quite an appropriate analogy to draw, as you've been hearing. John was a little vague about what he wanted me to say in this acceptance speech, I think perhaps in part because, as Neil says, this is something of an experimental program. But when I thought about you graduating, the sort of thoughts that came to mind were the similarities and differences that between what I faced when I was graduating from my undergraduate and master's program and to the challenges and opportunities that you face now. So I decided to do a PhD because I was passionately interested in trying to understand how nature worked, and I happened to be good at pushing around symbols on a piece of paper, as the saying goes. And it was a really great time to be doing a PhD in theoretical physics. Maybe not so much in gravity, but I'll come back to that later. So when I started my PhD, the W and Z bosons had recently been found at CERN, and so physicists were really happy that they understood the way that the quantum forces of nature worked. Meanwhile, Mike Green and John Schwartz had cracked the superstring, and so from the extremely high-energy theoretical point of view, we really felt like we were about to understand the universe. And whilst it didn't quite work out that way, it's certainly true that the last 25 years have seen a lot of remarkable achievements in the field of theoretical physics. My particular area, gravity, was at the time not considered perhaps to be quite so important. General relativity was thought to be rather mathematical and perhaps slightly irrelevant, and in any case it was going to be superseded by string theory. Well, this turned out not to be the case. And perhaps as a moral to you all, never to not go down an alleyway because you think it's interesting, because who knows what might happen. I've been privileged to be part of a generation that has actually seen general relativity or gravity come from being something rather of a sideline to actually having something important to say, not only about theoretical high-energy physics, but it actually even has a practical application, as in GPS, which, frankly, I wouldn't have believed at the time of doing my PhD. So I was a postdoc at the University of Chicago, and that was part of one of the very few general relativity groups in the US. But there was also a very strong string theory group there. And I have to say, it was a perfect environment in which to explore how some of the older fashioned ideas of gravity and general relativity could be applied to this modern new ideas in string theory. And basically, the piece of work that Anton referred to, the Gregory-Laflamme instability, came from that period of my life. So I think it goes to show that when you put together theorists with different expertise, sometimes some very new and exciting things can emerge. I think our work, and of course others' work, was instrumental in opening up the study of higher dimensional gravity, and I'm afraid, yes, my poor students heard about the Gregory-Laflamme instability as well in their course. I really threw it all at them. I didn't, however, want to just talk about science itself in this short speech. I did want to say a few words about the broader context of science. And I have a feeling this may be perhaps of more relevance to this class of graduates than perhaps it was when I graduated. When I became a physicist, we were more grappling with the moral conscience. We were at the tail end of a period when theoretical physics was actually funded in part by defense money. And I think we had a hard time sometimes coming to terms with that. It was basically a relic of the bomb. I think theoretical physicists were good to throw money at. Well, I'm glad that we've moved beyond this stage now, but I sometimes worry that perhaps politicians may see theoretical physics research as being a little bit irrelevant and certainly not useful. And so I was very glad to hear Neil's thoughts on this matter. I think in this particular case, perimeter really bucks the trend. I think it's unique in being a major player, not only in pushing forward the frontiers of pure thought, pure research, but also in actually doing real experimental research. And at the same time as doing all of this, it's accepting that we're part of society and we must engage with the society and explain to the public why we're doing what we're doing and what role we can play and how we can help. And so this is, if you like, the final point I want you to take away as Psi graduates. So I think, in a way, what you're going to be facing is not so much grappling with a moral conscience, but with a social conscience, to try and define who we are, why what we're doing is important for society, and it's why it's vital that you keep on thinking outside the box. So whatever walk of life you choose after you leave this program, please remember that you can always be an ambassador for science. I think, just to sort of wrap up, I think physics now is in a fantastic position. Perhaps not really since the time of Newton. It's being a genuine bridge across a whole range of scientific areas. Physics feeds into pure mathematics. I mean, I've even collaborated with a pure mathematician, but it's also feeding into engineering, computing, and medical science. In my time, we were perhaps a little more or less ambitious in our aims or the reach of the science and physics that we were going to do. We were trying to unlock, if you like, the underlying code of nature, but maybe weren't thinking so much about some of the other applications physics can have. I think physics today is so much more than it was when I was at your stage, and I think the choices that you have are so much richer, and I think it's a great time to be graduating from a master's program in theoretical physics. So it only remains for me to wish you all well, congratulate you again, and hope that you have success in your lives, whichever path you choose. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Ruth. We will now present certificates to the Psi students. So these symbolize that they have completed the requirements of this program and that recommendations will be brought to the University of Waterloo Senate that they be approved for graduation at the fall convocation. Students should come up on stage to receive their certificates as I call their names. Bruno Amorim. Eduardo Casali. Shane Farnsworth. Felix Flicker. Babak Fatui. Dina Jankina. Elizabeth Gould. Lauren Greenspan. Holger Haas. T. Kim Tuyen Hong. Auntie Carlson. Joel Lamy Poirier. Yang Lu. Peter Luntz. Eileen Mava Mannion Fisher. Anna McCoy. Sebastian Montez Valencia. Joachim Nosvini. Jose Ricardo Oliveira. Solomon Akaraka Awer. Laura Pilspanen. James Reed. Trevor Rempel. Heather Russell. Maitagori Shot. Matthew Smith. Laurel Stevenson Haskins. Anton von Niekerk. Tianhang Wang. Yihong Wang. And Catherine Zeeland. So the next and last item in the program is the valedictory address. This year, we have two valedictorians selected by their classmates. These are Antti Carlsson of the University of Turku in Finland and Heather Russell of the University of Victoria in British Columbia, Canada. Antti and Heather, would you please come forward and present your address?
Before starting, I'd just like to thank my fellow Scions for giving Antti and I the opportunity to address you today. We are very grateful. So I was sitting on the bus yesterday on the way to Niagara Falls, trying to figure out what on earth I could say today that would, one, profound, two, funny, and most importantly, three, not put anyone to sleep, because it is that time of day. Hopefully, I'll accomplish at least two of these. We came here because of a common passion, a curiosity about the world, and a desire to learn. And since, to quote Tibra, experiments are so passé, we set off to explain the mysteries of the universe with theoretical physics. I can't say we've exactly succeeded, though I know several of us did some remarkable research in a very short time span. But I know that what we learned here has formed a very solid foundation on which to build our futures. Somehow, through strength and determination and a good dose of stubborn persistence, we've made it to the end in one piece. Though I have heard that Trevor's diploma may be revoked if Tibor finds a mistake in his last cosmology homework. Together, we negotiated our way through the mazes of quantum field theory and gravitational physics, but it was the moments in between that brought us together and made us feel like a part of something. At Thanksgiving, we all had dinner together, crammed too many tables and too many chairs into Laura and Maeve's apartment, and managed to eat enough home-cooked food to sustain a small army. Someone, I don't recall who, suggested that we say what we are thankful for. We ran around the table, and there were the usual ones, thankful for food, for family, and then we got to James. In a completely straight voice, James said, "I'm thankful for the stability of the proton." I feel this statement gives you more insight into us than anything else I could say, besides maybe Auntie's reading circle, but I'll leave that one there. Latham Boyle taught us cosmology, but the main thing I did learn from his class was that if you want to maintain people's attention, tell a Russian joke. So here's a Russian joke to wake you guys up. The detective Ivanov is in a room, and when he opens the door, the light turns on. He closes it, the light goes out. He opens it again, the light turns on, and off again when he closes the door. "Ah," he says, thinking he's solved the mystery, "this must be some sort of refrigerator." We also learned some practical life lessons. One, enjoy the warm weather while it lasts. Back in October, we wondered where the snow was. It was getting cold, but just not quite cold enough. We were impatient. Anna and I spent 3 full days hiking in Mont Tremblant National Park trying to find snow. And find it we did. But eventually the snow did start, and it wasn't long before we were plotting ways of escaping. So in Waterloo, winter will find you. There's no need to go looking for it. Two, to survive the first class of the day, caffeine is essential. I'm sure most of us have become acquainted enough with the espresso machine at King Street to start a successful career as a barista. Not that it will be necessary. We've also gained some practical skills. Most of our pool skills have increased dramatically. There were Portuguese classes, Lauren learned how to bake bread and Tianheng Christmas cookies, and Peter, James, and Catherine successfully made cakes. Anton learned how to use chopsticks. Joelle discovered that steak tastes much better with garlic, and that the smoke alarm should be removed before turning on the broiler. We learned about Jewish holidays and customs from Lauren. We celebrated Bapu, a Finnish holiday. Maida shared her live cultures, though I have to say my sourdough starter has turned into a disturbing science experiment at the back of my fridge. Shane taught us how to play fire soccer, and he and Catherine learned that what's called corn flour in Australia is, in fact, cornstarch here. The pavlova worked the second time around. And we're still wondering how Felix managed to pass room inspections, not once, not twice, but 3 times. Any secrets? But these are the things I'll remember the most. Shaving things into the back of James's head, jamming with Matt, you're an amazing violinist, never give that up. Sampling foods from all different cultures, skating on Silver Lake at sunset, it was a wonderful year. But that being said, there was physics, a lot of it. I asked Ricardo what he learned this year, and he told me the following. Before coming here, we thought a lot more was known than actually is. There are scores of people working on incredibly complex problems, but some of the most fundamental ones are still unsolved. Simple questions don't always have simple answers. To paraphrase Joelle, the road is not Euclidean. I was going to thank the people who helped me throughout the year, but I couldn't think of a single person, staff and students, who hasn't helped me with one problem or another. And I think that's a sign that we truly embraced the spirit of the program, and this really was cooperative learning. I'd like to end with a few words of wisdom, courtesy of Francis Bacon. Reading maketh a full man, conference a ready man, and writing an exact man. And therefore, if a man write little, he need have a great memory. If he confer little, he need have a present wit. And if he read little, he need have much cunning to seem to know what he doth not. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather. My speech is going to be a bit shorter because Finns are not known to be talkative animals. A while ago, I was reading the blog of a Cambridge chemist. He was talking about how cutthroat, competitive, and unwelcoming the academic world is, and how he has decided to quit doing research and get a proper job. For an infant taking his first steps into academic adulthood, this kind of text is really grueling. What has happened to the castle in the sky where scientists collaborate and strive towards common goals? Aren't all scientists as nice and awesome as MacGyver? Fortunately, it doesn't have to be this way. This past year that I spent with all of you guys has given a lot of hope to me. The concept of competition is removed from PSY program by definition, and I think that it has really made a difference. I really enjoyed my time with all of you. During the year, I joked many times how PSY is like the army. We work, eat, sleep, and get sleep deprived together, and so on. But the most important similarity, at least for me, is the spirit that we don't leave people behind. Even though the program tried otherwise, we still had free time during the year, and I'm glad that we did and experienced all kinds of things together. Studying shouldn't be just about reading books and solving problems. It's also about getting new friends, memories, and growing as a person. A famous Finnish singer, Juha Vainio, wrote a song where a father sings to his son, who is moving away from home to study, that one should never forget about life and its little joys, and we certainly didn't. During the year, in addition to awesome physics, I learned a lot about tea and about the food and culture of Africa, Colombia, Brazil, Portugal, Australia, US, and Estonia, just to name a few. People also learned dancing, praying mantis kung fu, powerlifting, and even open source computer gaming. We also networked quite a bit, which is definitely important for young researchers. But most importantly, we also made a lot of new friends. And we didn't just make friends amongst ourselves, but also with the people working at PI. It has been really nice to see that the people doing high-level research have been really easy to approach, not to mention good old Glenn at the security desk, who makes sure that we behave. I hope that all of us can take the spirit of PSY with us and spread it into the academic world. Surely it isn't just about making the academia a more pleasant working environment, but also about making science go forward. People trying to make their competition look bad are not helping anyone. By taking what we have learned and spreading it around the world, we're also paying back the investment that was made in us. Finally, I would like to thank everyone who made this program work and granted me the chance to be a part of it. And above all, I would like to thank all of you guys, fellow PSI 2011 students, for making this year unforgettable. Thank you.
So thank you both very much for your thoughtful, inspiring, and humorous words. So that concludes today's program. Before closing, I would like to give special thanks to the people responsible for organizing this event, Debbie Gunther and Rachel Young, who worked tirelessly on the planning and arrangements while the rest of us were immersed in 31 hours of student essay presentations and defenses. And also David Fairthorn, who has handled the audiovisuals and recording of this celebration. And finally, once more, my heartfelt congratulations to the PSY students and best wishes for the future. You have worked hard, learned much, and formed friendships which will last a lifetime. As your teachers, our reward will come from your success in pushing back the frontiers of theoretical physics and other areas of knowledge. We look forward to being richly rewarded. On behalf of PSY, I would like to thank all of you who came to this event. I look forward to meeting as many of you as possible, especially the parents, during the rest of the day. Now, please follow us and the students out into the atrium where light refreshments will be served. Thank you.